chapter 17. This is Jesus' prayer, and this is, I guess you'd say in the strictest sense of the word, the Lord's prayer. Amen. And he's praying for us. So we need to pay attention to this prayer because the Lord is calling your name, as it were, in this prayer. Verse 14. Amen. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Did you hear that? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Amen. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. He's going to get you here now. How many like for the Lord to pray for you? You like for Jesus to pray for you? Well, he's going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How many has believed on him tonight? Hold up your hand. Ah, he put you in there. Praise God. Amen. You're a part of Jesus' prayer. Amen. I'd like to talk for a minute tonight on don't take them out yet. Praise God. Don't take them out yet. Amen. He said they are not of the world. And why the world does he leave us down here? We are not of the world. Look out about becoming at home in this world. Look out when you can't sing that old song, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? You better watch out now. You'd be surprised to know that the folks, even in the Pentecostal church, that have got the feeling of home in this world. Yeah, they're all wrapped up in it. Amen. I'm sending them into the world. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Well, how did Jesus come in the world? He came down. He condescended. Amen. And miraculous condescension, miraculous incarnation. He came down, 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 and he experienced this old world for you and me. Why did Jesus come to this world? Amen. To rescue us out of it. Amen. Not bodily altogether. Praise God. At least immediately, but spiritually. To rescue. That we might be born from above. Born of God. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thought, to be born from above and be born of God and have a heavenly mind. The wonderful thing about getting saved, the first thing I noticed about getting saved is I had the Lord on my mind all the time. Did you notice that? Had the Lord on my mind all the time. Just thought about Jesus. Thought about God. Amen. And when you got the Lord on your mind all the time, you'd pray all the time.
Amen.
You'd talk to him all the time. The wonderful thing about being saved is we become spiritually minded. That is, we become mindful of God and the things of God and heaven, praise God. Well, he said, I'm sending them into the world just like you, Father, sent me into the world. Well, he sent Jesus down here for a purpose, and you have a divine, distinct purpose in being here. You got a job to do. Amen. Hey, the world needs your word. Woo, hallelujah. That's what he said. I pray for those also that believe on me through their word. The world won't be saved without your word. Your word is light, just like Jesus was. Hallelujah. Just like the Father spake through the Son, in reality, ooh, glory to God, he speaks through us. Right down here in this world. The Lord speaks through us. He speaks through you. He speaks through me. He speaks through preachers. He speaks through Sunday school teachers. He speaks through little Christians out there in the world that don't claim to be anything. Don't claim to be Sunday school teacher. Don't claim to be preacher. Don't claim to be deacon. Don't claim to be nothing as far as official capacity. But the world needs your word. Mark was talking about it a while ago, that fellow that he was working with. Amen. When he found out he was a Christian, he said, that's it. I knew something was different. Praise God. The world needs your word. Praise God. Your word. I wish I had Rick Bradley's letter here. I'd read it in. If you got it, you bring it down. Didn't bring it? Amen. Man, did he write. Sent it through on email. Amen. I read it through hurriedly a while ago before I came down to church. Praise God. And he talked about Christians sitting comfortable in their, he didn't use the word easy chair, but amen. And not doing anything. He talked about a world in need and how that if we ever stir ourselves up and get out there and face the world is going to hate us. How that the rebels of the 60s and the young people of the 60s that stirred up all the rot in the 60s, they're running the universities now. And they don't want a preacher that gets out on the corner in the university and condemns them of their hellish lifestyle. Amen. And I mean, brother, any preacher that gets out there and stirs up a devil, amen, I mean, gets where people are living, all the Rick Bradleys and the Jim Giddleses, praise God, across this country, to get out there and preach on college's campuses and on the street corners, bless your heart, ooh, glory to God, they're going to catch it. Anybody that does anything from God's going to catch it. Did you know that we got a lot of folks right around church that if you get too far along, you'll catch it? Right in church. Amen. I mean, they don't want you to tell it like it is. They want you to use the other words. Amen. They don't want you to use, they want you to use all kinds of tact, amen, in preaching. Hey, praise God. Did you know we've got a job to do? Amen. And Jesus said, Father, amen, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. And here's my paraphrasal. I'm praying that you leave them in the fight. Woo-hoo. Leave them in there. Praise God. Throw them into the ring. Praise God. I've been to the Philippines. You know, on Sunday in the Philippines, it's a big day in the Philippines. That's when all the Filipinos go to the cockfights. Amen. Sunday afternoon, you see a Filipino carrying his dead rooster back home with him. He lost. Amen. Amen. And boy, it got all them, those arenas all over the Philippines where they cockfight them roosters on Sunday. Amen. And they leave them in there to the death. I mean, amen, they train those roosters, and then they arm those roosters with razor-sharp spurs and turn them loose on each other. Amen. And they fight to the death. God said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the ring. Jesus said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. But I'm praying, Lord, that you keep them from evil. I mean, Paul was in a battle when he said, I fought with the beasts of Ephesus. Amen. God had thrown him in again. Praise God. I fought with the beasts of Ephesus. What did he do? Some say that they turned him into the lions and God miraculously delivered him like he did at Daniel. And others say, amen, that he fell into the hands of the religious leaders and the Jews and the town leaders and he fought with the beast. I don't know what kind of fight he had. But he said, I fought with the beasts of Ephesus. And furthermore, he said, no man stood with me. He said, God, there's plenty of people that will leave you when the fight starts. When the going gets rough, there's plenty of people that will bail out. I mean, they claim to be preachers sometimes. They'll bail out. Amen. I've been in battles, I mean casting out devils. And amen, I've had evangelists and preachers and singers walk up and look. But because they couldn't sing their little song and because they couldn't do their little thing, amen, they turned around and walked away and left you with it. And we struggled on. And we struggled on till 1 o'clock in the morning. Amen. They'd done their little thing. They'd done their little entertainment. And they'd played their little game. Amen. And casting out devils wasn't their bag. Amen. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Woo, glory to God. Somebody said, I believe in casting out devils like Jesus. I don't believe you got to hold them in the floor and hold them down and pray for hours of time casting out devils. Amen. I don't care how you cast them out, just as long as you do it. The only problem is the folks that says, I don't believe in casting them out, hold them down on the floor and praying for hours of time, cast them out, they don't do nothing. Amen. I mean, there's some pastors don't want you casting out no devils in their church. Amen. They don't like the insinuation that any young person in their church might be devil-possessed. Amen. And they don't want you casting out devils in their church. Oh, boy, have we ever had it with those devils. Amen. Now, I'm not looking for no fight. I'm not spoiling for no battle. Praise God. But brother, it's going to be a battle. And you might as well, amen, you might as well get ready to roll up your sleeves and fight. You might as well, God's going to leave you in the ring to the death. Whew, glory to God. Why do some Christians have such a hard time? Because they're in a fight. Why do some preachers have such a hard time? Because they're in a battle. And we need to help them. If we don't help them, who is? If we don't hold up their hands, who will? The devil sure ain't going to do it. We're going to have to do it. Praise God. We're going to have to hold up their hand. Hallelujah. Hey, somebody needs your word. And Jesus said, leave them in the world. Leave them in the fight. Leave them in the battle. And Lord, help them while they fight. Keep them from evil. Keep them from the evil one. That's a devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Paul said, beware of dogs. He'd had some fights with some biting dogs. Said, beware of dogs. I don't think he was talking about canine critters. Amen. I think he's talking about two-legged dogs. Amen. Yeah. Some of them named Joe. Some of them named Sam. Amen. Hey, some of them had names like Paul. Hey, some of them had names like Peter. Praise God. Hey, he was talking about men and women. He said, beware of dogs. What's going on in here? We're in a battle. We're in a fight. And I don't tell you what, if we break out of these four walls and attempt to do very much out yonder for God, we're going to face it. Yeah, we're going to face it. Praise God. But he said, keep them while they fight. Keep them from evil. He's praying for those that fight. Amen. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's as long as you're doing what he said to do. Amen. I mean, if you're on Easy Street and doing most of your work and fighting in a lazy boy rocker, amen, he might not help you too much. Praise God. But you're going to have to get out there. He said, keep them from evil. Praise God. Hey, the church is still here for some reason. We thought we was going in a month or so. We didn't think it'd last this long. When I got saved, they said the Jews have been going home. They've been proclaimed the nation, and Jesus is coming soon. But he hadn't come yet, and the church is still in the ring. I like to be like them pheasants up near London, Ohio. Several years ago, me and Bruce Cole, amen, Brother Parker went a time or two with us, and Brother Helton from Middletown Church, and Brother Bolin, and Brother Conley, amen, and we'd go up there and we'd pheasant hunt. Brother Isaac had a farm up there, we'd pheasant hunt on some, amen. Another man let us hunt. And so we'd go up there and hunt, and those pheasants getting that corn, you couldn't get them to fly. And I got so mad at those pheasants that one day I looked down a corn row, and there was one in the same corn row I was in running for all there was in it. And I cracked down at him with a 12-gauge shotgun. Amen. And I thought, sure, I hit him. And I just pretty well, sure, I hit him. He's going straight away from me, running on the ground. Amen. Ah, you say, it's not a good sportsman to shoot them on the ground. Hey, you get as mad at them as I was, you'll shoot them anywhere you can find them. Amen. And I caught one in the same row I was in, and I shot him, amen, running on the ground, Brother Setzer. And I run down there real quick. I knew I'd surely kill that pheasant. And I crossed 4 or 5 more, maybe 10 corn rows, and I found him, and he was laying on his back, and he was still pumping. As far as he was concerned, he was still running. Hey, praise God. I like to run for Jesus. Glory to God. With all I've got. Amen. And when I finally get it at that last minute, glory to God, I want the devil to find me on my back still pumping. Praise God. For all he is in it. Hallelujah. Brother Savage told about those doves that flew so long that he had to unfold it. They crash landed at the dove cote. Amen. And he had to unfold her legs off of them. They'd cramped. Praise God. Princess, I'd like to be flying so hard when I get to the celestial city that I'll overshoot the pearly gates and crash land on the sea of glass, and Jesus had to pick me up and unfold the landing gear. Praise God. I was flying so hard and running so hard. Hey, the Lord still got the church in the world for a reason. Amen. What for? Well, one reason he's got us here is to plow. Amen. Listen to this. He said, Jesus, and he said to another, follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You'd be surprised folks can't come to church this Christmas season because of family. They got to go bid farewell to them that are at home in the house. You'd be surprised that folks will vacate the house of God this time of year and pray through about the first of the year. Amen. You'd be surprised that the Pentecost church up down the valley and can't even have church on Wednesday night because it's Christmas Eve. Amen. Hey, amen. Jesus put us in here to plow. Amen. You know what Haggai's problem was in Haggai's day? They'd left off to build a house of God and do the work of God, and every man had went to his own house. Amen. Their own house. He said, it's not time to build a house of God. It's not time to work for God. It's not time to build a church. Amen. Well, Haggai said, is it time to build your own house? Is it time to do your own thing? Huh? Amen. Hey, listen, he said, you looked for much and it came to naught. Amen. You sowed a bunch and reaped little. Amen. From this day forth, you begin to... What is a church? Amen. Church is not beams and wood and block and stone seats. The church is souls born of God. Amen. One to Christ. Praise God. Oh, what are we here for? To plow. Amen. What do you do when you plow? Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what you do when you plow. You plow everything under in sight. I mean, you turn it over when you plow. Amen. I mean the old sentimental corn stalks, the old sentimental bean vines, the old sentimental tomato vines of yesterday. You plow them under. You plow everything under in sight. Amen. Because you ought to be more easy on them poor old tomato vines. They brought forth tomatoes all summer last year. You shouldn't run that mower over them and mow them down. And hey, they done their job. It's time to mow them down and plow everything under in sight. Praise God. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Got my hand on the gospel plow. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Put your hand on that plow and hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Put your hand on that plow and hold on. Hallelujah. Well, he said, amen, you need to keep plowing. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, you say, Brother Collins, it's time to quit plowing. Amen. No. Praise God, you got to keep plowing. Even after those little plants come up, you got to go back and plow some more. You got to plow up the weeds. I mean, you got to plow so close to them little old plants. Amen. The old timers, they believed in plowing corn when a lot of times it was almost tossing. Amen. They taught us in vocational agriculture that's too far. They talked about those old timers, you know, that plowed a mule and they'd plow that corn, it'd wilt behind them. You're doing more damage than you're doing good. Amen. But there's a time to plow, folks, even after it's coming up. Nowadays we use herbicide. Amen. But they're finding out that the herbicide is poison in the water. They find out the herbicide is killing fish. Found out the herbicide is defeating purpose in some areas. I'm not preaching the pros and cons for ecology. Amen. They decided that it was worth more than trying to do without it to feed the world. And so they go ahead and use a herbicide. They go ahead and use the insecticide. Amen. Our blessed newspapers had a series of articles lately about children working. I told my wife, I think I'm going to have to write an article to the editor. Amen. Hey, children have always worked. If it turned out to be worth 2 cents. You know the reason so many of them ain't no count today and never did learn to work. Amen. Yeah, I mean, they just got all sympathetic, those poor little old teenagers that can't go out and play ball. They got to work. Hey, I worked when I was a kid and still find time to play ball. Amen. You don't play ball every day. You work just about every day and you play ball later. Amen. Hey, I've been one of those itinerant workers. I followed the cotton fields and the strawberry harvest, and I had kin folks that even wound up in Indiana picking tomatoes, following the harvest. Up in Michigan picking apples, following the harvest. The migrant workers, they called them. Amen. I've been one of them. You know what? It didn't hurt me a bit. Made a man out of me. Praise God. Poor little children working. Hey, my dad took me into the cotton fields at Leechville, Missouri. We called it the Bottoms. In the fall of about 1943, amen, first time we went to the cotton fields, he rigged me up a gunny sack. Him and Mom both had 9-foot cotton sacks. He rigged me up a tow sack with a strangler that I could drape over my shoulder and put me to picking cotton. And I found out, picking cotton 1 cent a pound, that's what was paid when we first went to cotton fields, 1 cent a pound. Later on, we graduated to 3 cents a pound. That's $3 a hundred. Amen. We never got any higher than $3 a hundred. I found out they had candy up at the scales, and 5 pound of cotton would buy one candy bar. And so I'd pick till I thought I had 5 pound in my sack, and I'd leave Mom and Dad in the field and head for the scales. Amen. And if I didn't have enough, I'd go back picking up a little more and head for the scales. And one day my dad got a cotton stalk out. And he let me know in no uncertain terms. We wasn't in the cotton fields to buy candy up at the scales. We was in the cotton fields to make a living. And so we learned to work. Every year we went to cotton fields until I got bigger and went for myself, and Dad was working on a railroad. Amen. All the money went into, I never did get paid at home for anything I did, except I contracted with my dad. Amen. He said, how much you take to cut all them sprouts on that hillside? I said, 50 cents. He took me up on it. It was a good deal for him. Bad deal for me. I cut sprouts for months. I thought I'd never make my 50 cents. Amen. Hey! Amen, Jerry Wayne Philpott. It didn't ruin me to cut sprouts for 50 cents. Poor little old kids working. Hey! We need to teach our kids to work. Amen. And they showed pictures of two little children eating cucumbers out of the field that had been sprayed with insecticide. Well, what do you think those have been sprayed with that you buy in the grocery store? Same stuff. I mean, they might have come from Venezuela, or they couldn't lord it over them in the EPA. Amen. But they might have been sprayed with worse stuff, Richard, in Venezuela. Amen. They're in the good old new United States of America. Amen. Hey, and they told that heart-rending story today about that poor little 14-year-old boy working on construction and something fell on him and killed him. Because he's working. Hey,
I know a whole bunch of young folks that they took something and killed them. They stole something and got killed. Amen. They committed suicide because they're living such a low-down life. Never did learn to work. Amen. I'll take my chances of a 14-year-old working in construction getting killed. Amen. Then this yuppie society raised up to experiment with drugs and kill themselves because they didn't learn how to work. Amen. Hey, God called us to work. God called us to plow. God didn't call us to sit down beside the river, do nothing, and hang our harp on a weeping willow tree. Hallelujah. God called us to be about our Father's business. Poor little old 12-year-old Jesus never had no fun. They didn't find him when they lost him at the ball game. They didn't find him at the bowling alley. They didn't find him playing checkers, dice, or cards. Amen. No, they found him in the house of God. And when they said, "Why have you done us this way, Jesus?" His mother did. "We've been worried to death." Said, "Don't you know? I got to be about my Father's." Little old 12-year-old boy. Amen. All he's going to do is go to church all his life. All he's going to do is work for God. Hey, I got to be about my Father's business. Amen. I believe in starting them out early. Amen. Hey, that junk they've been writing in the Journal News about kids working. Amen. That's a bunch of junk. Amen. A few dying, a few getting sick on pesticides or taking a chance is not near as bad as this society that's raised to do nothing. Everything handed to them on a silver platter. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to make it. And so they decide, amen, Uncle Sam owes it to me. This society owes it to me. If you don't give it to me, I'll steal it. Huh? Amen. I think we need to send a whole bunch more to work at a very young age. I bent over the cotton row at a very young age. Amen. It's my job at a very young age to haul the rocks off of a quarter acre garden. That's how big it was, a quarter of an acre every year. The rocks came back. We nailed a tub on top of a sled, filled the tub as much as we could pull of rocks, amen, and hauled those rocks down to the rock row, and we worked, amen, because we had to make a living. We had to learn to work. Hallelujah. Hey, the Bible said it's good to bear the yoke in your youth. Now, what usually bears a yoke? Ox, horse, donkey. But he said it's good for kids to bear the yoke in their youth. That's what Jeremiah said, Book of Lamentation. It's good to bear the yoke. Amen. God called Jeremiah to preach. He said, "I can't preach, Lord. I'm a child." Jesus said, "Preach anyhow." Hallelujah. You got a plow, Jeremiah? Even if you're a child. Poor little old Jeremiah. He's going to have to plow all his life. He's going to have to preach all his life. People ain't going to like him. People are going to hate him. Amen. People are going to show him the back of their head. And finally, they're going to kill him. Poor Jeremiah. He has to start when he's just a kid. And he even tells the Lord, said, "I'm a kid. I'm a child. I can't preach." God said, "Preach anyway." When he got old enough to get married, God said, "You can't get married. Don't get married." I remember, amen, when I was a ripe old age of 19 pastoring a church, an all-time pastor in that church, I didn't have one date because I didn't want anybody to question my ministry. So I didn't have one date for that year and 9 months, almost 2 years that I pastored that church. Amen. As a matter of fact, there wasn't much available to tell the truth about. Amen. It just wasn't that much to pick from. Amen.
Amen. I mean, he had to go 75 miles to find much. Amen. And so I didn't have no dates. All Thomas Patrick Church. Got in the car one night. I'll never forget how discouraged it sounded when Sister Gregory said, "Maybe you'll be like Jeremiah. Never get married." Man, I was afraid the Lord would come too quick and I'd never get to get married. Amen. I wanted to find somebody to go with me. Somebody to sing with me. Somebody to help me out. Amen. Hey, praise God. What do you do if you ain't got nobody? You plow anyway. You pray if you pray by yourself. You stand if you have to stand alone. And it'll be worth it to make it to glory. If they don't go, I'm going anyway. Let's stand, let's pray, Lord. Touch our lives, our bodies, our souls, our outlook, our uplook. Challenge us, Lord, to the work, to win for God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to be tough, to grow us a hide like a rhinoceros, to put iron shoes on our feet, and a pair of galvanized breeches. Help us to put on the helmet of salvation, Lord, and determine to face the fray in the name of Jesus.